The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Gentlemen, take your marks, set.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters all around the world. My heart is in the coffin again. The great Ed Ambrister passed last week. He attended the Big Red Machine, and his sister Tanji was one of the most talented athletes at Senegassens. Ed was known for his bunt that caused Cincinnati to win the World Series. And he did it again, ladies and gentlemen. And Ed Smith is his wife, Rosella's cousin. Ain't that something else? Both of them came to prominence in 1975. Ed with the bunt, Ambrister with the bunt, and Ed Smith with the Denver Broncos. Well, the question is now, how will Ed Ambrister be remembered? Welcome, our listeners, those who participate via several platforms, ladies and gentlemen, all around the world. We have great news, great news. You decide whether it would be good or bad. Well, my brothers and sisters, it was announced on Friday, March the 19th, that the upcoming Tokyo Games will have no fans in the stadium. Well, I will take my money and travel to other destinations that excite me. Ethiopia is on the top of the list. And we are happy to tell our listeners all over the world that in the month of March, Track World has a, what do we call it? Now we have an education sessions for this month and on financial things. And we're talking about the financial services industry. The topic is home ownership process. Guest star Andrew Carey from Frank Carey's Real Estate, Toriana from RBC, attorney Miles Parker from Cedric Parker and Company, my business partner Alexis Hanna of Kalina Insurance. And I want you to tell the world how your day was. Whoever wants to start first, go ahead.
My day went pretty well. How about yours?
My day was great. I had a good day as well. Thanks for having me, Mr. Findlayson.
Yes, I too enjoy it. And thank you for having us on your show. It's a good day so far. Hopefully it gets better.
Well, it'll turn out to be a great day. And I'll say this. Can we have... RBC person, of his comments.
I know that he was trying to call in to us.
Is he on?
Hello.
Hi, Toriano.
Yes. Hi. I was just fading out a bit. I was trying to hear.
Well, my humble apology. The question is, how was your day? Most of us had great days.
I had a great and exciting day today. Can't complain, you know. Just had a totally great day today.
Well, thank you very much. This is the 397th edition of Track World with Alfie Spindleson. Track World is proudly sponsored by Sun Oil Limited, our Rock Homes, my bestseller book, From Vancouver to Athens, 50 Years of Bahamian International Track and Field Competition, AFD Management Services, and it's located on Fairdale, and the CEO is none other than my good cousin, we don't have any bad cousins, Freeman DeVoe from Fairdale, and we're talking about Sunshine Insurance, and of course, Cleaner Insurance, where I have been a financial services representative for more than 40 years. Well, I started very early in this business. And now we go to our first commercial break. But before that, we will provide you with the trivia of the week. And the question is, please tell us which Bahamian track and field athlete who participated in the 1955 Pan Am Games is still alive. The question again is, please tell the world the name of the Bahamian track and field athlete who participated in the 1955 Pan Am Games and is still alive. And the numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-5316, and what's the last one?
325-4259.
On the text line, powered by BBC, is none other than 422-4796, ladies and gentlemen. And the trivia prize will be $30 if you can get to guess the answer of the trivia. And now we go to our first break. And when we return, we're going to have some excitement in the heart of the world.
Hello from the Shell Fuel Labs, where my team of dedicated scientists develop Shell fuels for your car.
For over 100 years, fuels innovation has been at the heart of everything we do.
Since our first ever branded petrol in 1907, we've broken records, supported Ferrari F1 to win Grand Prix, and pushed our fuels to the limit.
Now, every time you fill up the Shell, your engine will benefit from our passion for innovation, helping you to get the most out of every tankful.
With over 100 years of quality fuels innovation,
you can be sure of Shell.
I am Bernard F. Hanna. All of you should know me as a Sting. I've got the very first copy from Vancouver to Athens. You know, I'm so excited because to be the one to have the first copy, I know what it was for Hawk for over the years, his dedication and his excitement, his commitment to bring this best-seller book to us. And I'm excited to have in my possession not only one copy, but two copies from Vancouver to Athens. 50 years of Bahamian International Track and the Field Competition. This is great stuff. So I'm urging all of you to get your own copy. You could get it from Logos in the Harbor Bay, or Nassau Stationers on Rosetta Street, or Chapter 1 at COB, or at Coral News and Gifts in the domestic section of the Lyndon Penland Airport. Let me tell you, man, you will never regret it. This kind of information that you get in this book is really invaluable. It's just terrific stuff. Good sports history, true and factual, you know. So I urge you, just go and get it and keep a copy and even give your friends a copy. And you know, more than one reason I am more excited about having this book. Look at page 200 and you will see me there in live and living color performing. Number 200, you will see Bernard F. Hanna performing, and that is my fulfillment. One of my big fulfillment of having this book.
Are you interested in the Bahamian economy? How about tips to improve your financial literacy? Tune into Guardian Radio's newest financial podcast series, C-File Talks. The podcast will provide listeners with their weekly dose of economic issues and solutions and the keys to financial freedom. C-File Talks will be hosted by an array of finance experts here to give honest and beneficial advice. You won't want to miss the C-File Talks podcast series, Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7 p.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Morning blend business.
The economy.
Finance.
Business.
Industry.
Government sector. Private sector.
Financial services.
Tourism.
Personal finance.
Investing advice.
Consumer issues. Consumer rights.
Trends and business opportunities.
Morning blend business. Following Morning Blend every weekday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
And we're back, and our listeners and those who connected via several platforms here. Which of our brilliant guests will start the exciting conversation?
Well, I'll start by introducing myself again. My name is Andrew Carey, and I'm with Frank Carey Real Estate, and have been practicing real estate officially in the Bahamas for 7 years.
All right, great to have you, Andrew Carey.
Yes, and my name is Miles Parker. I'm a practicing attorney, Cedric L. Parker & Co. I've been practicing for going on, 20 years now. And with respect to who starts the conversation, if you're talking about home ownership, before you get to me, you're probably going to be dealing with Mr. Carey.
So let's start it off right. This
is very true.
Well, Alexis, can you just set the tune?
So what we would do is, in terms of the home ownership process, of course, that starts with the homeowners and their desire to purchase a home. I know myself, I had a dream house in mind, you know, when it came time to look for that home. Each homeowner is different, and this is where the realtor comes into play to kind of guide, you know, the homeowner on this quest initially. So, Mr. Carey, tell us exactly how this process works with you.
Well, it starts relatively exactly how you imagine and how you explained it. Most persons already have in their head their dream home. It probably started from they were a child, and it goes on into adulthood. And once they get at an age where they decide that they want to purchase a home, then the first thing I would probably recommend you doing is getting a real estate agent to assist you along this process. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a real estate agent.
Okay.
Of course, guys. if there really is value, this is what we do, is what we get paid to do. And we can guide you along and bruises that goes along, because it is a long process. It's not difficult, but it is tedious, and you want somebody to guide you through. So
I shouldn't just ride around looking for house then?
No, you should not do that. I mean, everybody does the Sunday drive, you know, right. You go around and look at the houses, you know, you go out west and see all the big houses and count the windows and stuff like that. But aside from that, the first thing you want to do is get a real estate agent. And me being a real estate agent, what I would probably do is recommend first to find out what it is you qualify for. And I would do that by sending you to someone like Toriano at RBC to get a just a reference to see exactly what do you qualify for. And that would meet our expectations on size, location, and type of house that you may want to get. So once that is done, typically you sit down with a loan officer. They'll go through the process of asking you how much money do you make, what kind of debt obligation do you have. And once they hammer down a number, typically they'll give you a letter just showing, you know, hey, you qualify for this amount. Let's just use $200,000, for example.
Okay. So, Toriano, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
So I know, you know, Mr. Carey kind of made that sound like it was just that simple. You say, okay, this is the amount that I need, and then you get that letter to say, okay, we got it. So give us a little bit more detail as to exactly what that process is.
Yes, again, my name is Toriano Lloyd. I'm a mortgage professional with Royal Bank of Canada. And yes, Mr. Carey made it simple, and I wanted to interject, but I said, let me let him go. But the home ownership is one of the major decisions one would ever make in his life. And, you know, so nobody likes to waste time. And, you know, most realtors, you know, they like Mr. Carey said, when you come out, they want to actually know what you qualify for rather than take you to see a $500,000 house
right.
when you only qualify for $200,000 house, you know. So my suggestion is to everyone, before you, once you start thinking about home ownership, first thing you need to know is come in and see a professional mortgage specialist. So when you go there, you can make a more informed decision. You will know exactly what you're qualified for. And so once you're pre-qualified, we'll give you a pre-qualification certificate that you could actually take to the real estate company, let them know exactly how much you qualify. And then now they can take you around to show you houses in that price range that you have been qualified for. Now, the qualification process is quite simple. Once you have made up your mind and you come in to see one of our trained mortgage specialists, any one of the Royal Bank branches, all you need to do, bring a payslip and a job letter. Once you bring that to the bank, we are able to pre-qualify you and tell you exactly what you are qualified for. And then once you take that to the real estate company, they can actually pinpoint houses that fit within your criteria and instead of wasting time for you and them as well.
Let's stick a pin. Tell us, each of you, our guests involved, how did you get involved in this business?
As far as real estate is concerned, it's relatively easy. There's no requirement as far as a scholastic. Some would want you to have, you know, some sort of tertiary education, but it's not required. Typically, you would start with an apprenticeship that runs for about 6 months. And once you have your apprenticeship complete, you can sit the real estate exam. It's not cheap. Last I check, I think it's about $2,000.
Okay.
So once you are under a broker and have apprenticed for 6 months, you are eligible to sit the real estate exam. And once you pass, you are good to go once you pay your fees.
Well, tell us a little bit about the role of insurance other question is, would be, what do you consider the best mortgage? But let's start talking about the role of insurance, please.
The role of insurance in purchasing a home and getting a mortgage. Well, you know, I can speak to that. Toriano can also speak to that a bit in terms of, you know, how it is used as cosign, a life insurance policy to use as collateral for your mortgage. So I don't know if Toriano wants to touch on that a little.
Sure, I can touch on that. There are two types of insurance that the bank pay close attention to when it comes to mortgages. The first one is making sure that the house itself is insured. I call that the homeowner's insurance.
Right.
And we need to make sure that's in place, and that protects you as the client and the bank collateral as well. So if there should be anything happen, and that insurance is normally a full catastrophic one that covers both hurricane, fire, water damage, earthquakes, you know, the whole, any disaster, that insurance gives you full coverage, and that protects you as the client in case the house is destroyed, and so there'll be funds coming back to either you repay the bank's outstanding amount, or you can rebuild your house as well and protect the bank as well. Should something happen, if the place is destroyed and you can't afford to build back, at least the bank has paid off its debt. The bank debt is repaid, and then you are free from that debt as well. And the other one is the life insurance policy that we recommend very highly to all of our clients, because debt is no one knows where debt is. And so therefore, unless you have a family and you have a nice house, you have a nice home, and should you die before that mortgage is completed, then you don't want to leave a debt on your children or your husband to pay. And if they can't pay, and then the bank has to now rely on its security and come and actually, you know, take the house back because you're unable to pay.
Right.
And so that's why we recommend you take out a life insurance to cover the mortgage. And so if anything should happen, at least your family don't have to worry about carrying on or paying that debt that you would have left them. So that's the importance of the life insurance, to make sure you are covered and your family are covered. And then the homeowner's insurance, which protects your property and covers your debt as well in case something should happen.
Okay.
Well, just one second. We have Leon Coleman. He is watching, along with several other people, Kelly Burrows, Charlene Thompson. Leon, you need to be able, you can call in while the show is going on, Leon. Thank you ever so much. So my question is, Leon, you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Yes, but you can't call through here because we can't hear you. So I gave you the numbers to call on. You can get the numbers. Call on the number 242-323-6232. That's what you need to call on, Leon. Thank you so much. Okay. My question is about mortgages. What do you consider the best mortgage to be? What do you consider the best mortgage to be? Now, when I decided to get a mortgage for a home, my architect... my architect suggested that I should $100 a month, and that was in 1980. Alexis?
That was a no small change, is what you're trying to say.
And your grandmother, she looked at me and thought I was crazy for that amount.
She wanted to know if you had that kind of bank.
If I had that kind of bank. So what it was is that the longer or the more you put in, the quicker you are through with your commitments.
Right. But yet again, Tariana would be able to speak to that a little bit better. And I don't know if there's, you know, a better mortgage or a lesser mortgage, but I'm sure he'd be able to explain a little bit more about the different types and the different terms.
Yes. So I will interject on that and say that I wouldn't say there's a best mortgage, but I think what you probably can say the best mortgage that fit your present situation.
Right.
So in terms of what can you afford comfortably in terms of payment as well. So you may say, okay, I want a big house paying $500,000. My mortgage payment would be about $5,000, but I'm only able to really pay $600. So you have to now get a mortgage that fits within that $600 a month payment. And so that's why it's so important to get pre-qualified before you even begin construction, before you go talk to your architect, come in and find out exactly how much can I comfortably pay that will not put a real pressure on me or cause me to default on my loan payment. But that's why we stress, come in and see a mortgage professional, get pre-qualified. So when you go to your architect, you say, okay, I'm only qualified for $250,000. I'm only qualified for $500,000. the architect will draw your plans according to what you are qualified for. Mm-hmm. And also, the more down payment, is your contribution to the mortgage amount. And like you said, your Grammy said, if you put down more, the less money you borrow from the bank.
Right.
So if you, and it's based on your situation again, if you have savings, that's why we stress savings is so important. You don't just get up one morning and say, I'm going into the bank. It's some planning prior to you coming to the bank that you say, okay, I'm saving now. I'm budgeting. I'm putting aside money towards my mortgage. I need to have a down payment of a minimum of 10% or 5%, you know, 20%. And the more money you save, the more money you can inject into your mortgage, the less you borrow from the bank, and therefore the less interest you pay back to the bank. So if where you are in life, if you have the savings to put in more, I say put in more. But if you don't have it, then if you only have the 10%, right where you are, do right where you are, put in the 10, and then you also have the options of paying it off quicker by making extra principal payments. So there's really no best mortgage that someone could recommend for you. We only could do it based on what you qualify for.
Well, two things have happened in the last 2 years. One is Dorian and the all of that. And then one is the pandemic, where people don't have the money to upkeep their lifestyle.
Well, this is true. Two things have happened. This has had an effect on the real estate market. I'm pretty sure Toriano can speak to that as well, being working in the bank as well as Mr. Parker. Dorian first, obviously a lot of persons, especially in Abaco and in Freeport, had a lot of home damage. So insurance would come into play in that as well. But as far as from a real estate standpoint, we have seen a hit as far as real estate transactions on a year-over-year basis during Dorian and as well as the pandemic as well. It has affected sales and home prices somewhat. However, it's not all doom and gloom. Persons are still purchasing. The banks may have a freeze or a slowdown on lending a little bit, but they're still working with their clients. They're still offering low interest rates. I know one particular bank is offering a 3.85%, but as far as real estate is concerned, it's still strong. You still can purchase homes. Banks are still lending money, and even though we had these two devastating situations, real estate is still moving in the Bahamas.
And I will add to that as well. Yes, we have been affected by Dorian and the pandemic. And back to my original point on the insurance, especially for our brothers and sisters in Abaco, who were really affected, and in Freeport, who were really affected by the Hurricane Dorian, and a lot of homes were totally destroyed. And for those who had the insurance policies in place and up to date, they were able to claim on that insurance and get funds to now rebuild their homes back in Abaco and on Freeport. So that's the importance of having that homeowner's insurance. And, you know, with the banks, yes, we understood persons were affected. Persons lost their job during Dorian. And then before they even could catch themselves, then you had the pandemic hit them as well. And so a lot of Bahamians were hurting and they lost their jobs. And the bank, we understood that. Royal Bank, we were the first one out the gate to assist our client, where we offered them 3 months deferred payment. And then after that 3 months had expired, we extended for another 6 months. So we were there for our client. They've been there for us all these years. So Royal Bank, we were compassionate towards them, and we deferred those payments, allowing them not to pay anything for the 6 months until their economy start to rebound from all this devastation.
Mr. Attorney, can you add anything?
My view on that, I'll try and be even-handed in my view. There has been a slowdown, I would say, from what I've seen. The conversation is on home ownership, and from what I am hearing and from what I'm seeing, things are changing, getting a little better now, but it seems that for a period, only the high-end customers with the the better qualifying customers. We're getting some traction with the banks. You're seeing some movement now on the I would call it middle class. But from what I've been hearing, a lot of the requirements for qualification for the loans were unattainable. Understandably so. People were out of work for a year, and that was the pandemic. And then you had Dorian, which even though we weren't in Abaco as a country, we weren't all there. It affected everybody. The insurance premiums rose across the board, and there was, you know, concern. But I do see positive movement. I do see positive movement. And from a homeowner's or a purchaser's perspective, as has already been indicated, everybody's experience is going to be somewhat unique and detailed to their circumstances in terms of what you could qualify for and what's available to you. I won't be able to comment on the inventory. That's more Mr. Carey's field. What I find in my profession is by the time someone comes to the attorney, they usually have already spoken to the bank and have an idea of what they're qualified for. And they've usually already dealt with or spoken with a real estate agent. So they already have an idea of what they're looking for.
Right.
And you find that they will come to us or at least consult with us at the stage when they've found something and you have perhaps an offer letter in the making and you are determining your costs, your final costs and whatnot, that you are going back to the bank with. It's a bit of a circle in terms of you start there and you still end up.
Right.
Still end up. So let me ask something. You are aware that there are a lot of people on the street who don't necessarily live in fancy homes and everything else, but they know how to save. They have their money, and when these things happen, it doesn't affect them as much as other people. Comment on that, please. Maybe Alexis?
So what you're saying is that, yes, the Dorian happened, the pandemic happened, but that doesn't mean everybody broke.
That's
you know,
point.
There are people who still have their reserves and different things for what they need to do. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'll accept that. The bottom didn't completely fall out.
No.
And to be honest with you, this is not the first time in the history of the world that there have been a series of catastrophic events visit a particular country.
Yeah.
And during these times, there are people who have a view that this is when fortunes are made. There are those people who would be in a position to take advantage of these circumstances. And when you mention those who would have saved and are in a position to move, I would imagine that they are probably going to be in a good position in terms of the inventory that is going to be available.
Right.
So we
have a call.
Particular country. And during these times,
Kermit, we have a caller?
No, we don't have a caller.
You don't have a caller? Okay. Okay, what we want to do now is go to a break, and after that break, we will come back with some more exciting things.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
Back, and we decided to make it as simple about the steps in home ownership, and who takes it first.
Well, considering that we are on track live with Alpheus Finland, I would like to relate it to a track and field scenario. I want you to think of it as a relay race. And it starts with you, the potential homeowner. So as a potential purchaser of your first home, you would be running the first leg. The first thing you would want to do, as we illustrated earlier, is to get to the bank, get pre-qualified, find out what you're qualified for. As Toriano mentioned, let's say for $150,000. And Toriano, maybe you could take it from there as far as the second step. For qualification.
Yes, and after you've been pre-qualified, mm-hmm. and then what we will do once we have established that amount, we'll actually recommend that you go to a real estate company, and then that realtor will take you around and show you the different homes that you're basically qualified for, and then once that happens and you have identified the home that you love, your dream home, or maybe your startup home. What we also would do, that realtor, he can also provide an appraisal on the property to ensure that the price you're paying for the property is actually what the property is valued. So you don't want to be purchasing a house costing $250,000, because, you know, everybody thinks their house is expensive and worth plenty of money, but really and truly, when you look at the different condition and market conditions, the area the house is in, the condition the house is in, you may be selling it for $250,000, but the house is only valued at $200,000. So you want to be overpaying for a house that's only valued for $200,000. That's why it's so important to get a proper valuation done. And then once that is established, we will partner, and we'll send them on to our attorney, like Mr. Parker himself. And then the attorney at that point could review all the sales agreement, and also provide his costing at that point, how much it's going to cost, all the legal costs. And then once that happens, then we're ready to draw down the funds and issue a check, and you can move into your own house.
Well, let me say that I took a different route. And the route was is that I decided to look and go in these places and look at the magazines that had houses that I was interested in. You know, some of us now look on television and they, you know, battle for the best thing.
Right.
But what I did is that I looked at a number of houses. I drove all around Nassau, especially in the East. And the challenge with the East, because we were living East Street South, is that there's plenty of traffic coming.
Mm-hmm. Nothing changed.
So I've said that we would never, ever, I mean, many years ago, 1971, we were talking about that. Where should you live?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. The second thing is what kind of design that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So that means an architect who could explain to you and give you the opportunity of how what they would do to amend what we get. And that's exactly what we got. And it's been 1987.
Yeah.
We've been out at Cable Beach.
So I want to segue from there. You talked about, you know, getting an architect and basically building the home of your dreams. Back to Toriano about this. Let's talk a little bit about new construction versus purchasing a home.
Okay. Yes.
Well, Toriano?
Yes. Yeah, so new construction versus purchasing a home. Now with the new with constructing a home, it's gonna really it's gonna cost more time and effort. But what we normally do, we do finance for construction as well. And what we normally do as well, we ask you to get at least two quotes from qualified contractors, and also we like to also ask you to also obtain from them almost like testimonials or references from clients who they would have built home before, so that you can have some comfort level. And we always tell our clients, whenever you are hiring or engaging a contractor, please go and take a look at homes that he have already built. Go on his website, really check him out to make sure that what he is saying he can do for you, you have evidence that he has already done this before. You know, because everyone could say they could build a house, but can they build a house to your standard, or are they going to take advantage of you? So you want to make sure you have qualified contractors to build your house. And then the bank, we have another safety measure in place. Once a construction loan mortgage is granted, we have qualified quantity surveyors, building inspectors on our approved listing who would go out and represent both you, the clients, and the bank. So at every stage before we release any funds, that inspector has to go out there, inspect, making sure that what's on the plan and the quality of work that is done is up to standard or above standard, and then they make a recommendation to say, okay, they're satisfied that now payment can be made. So it's very important that when you're constructing, you engage these persons involved in the construction industry. And also, I like to encourage clients themselves to make sure, don't just take someone's word, but actually go on site yourself. Go there every day, see what they're doing. If it's not the standard, you don't like it, ask questions. Get a second eye on it to make sure that they're doing the work properly.
Right.
And so construction may take a little longer than purchasing a house. And we know the process may be a little tedious and a little difficult, frustrating sometimes if you're building a house, and it could take longer. You have other factors that could delay progress, like weather, or even, you know, maybe the contractor may get sick, or, you know, those kind of things happen. So construction is, you get what you want because you're building your own house, but they'll also come with a delay or, you know, a little added frustration rather than just purchasing a house that suits your need or you like, and it's just a one-shot deal where you just pay for the house and you move in ready rather than having to wait six months to have a house completed.
Right. Is there a difference in terms of the down payment or requirements for construction versus purchasing a home?
Well, with RBC, when you're purchasing a home, our minimum down payment is 10%. And when you're doing construction, the down payment is up to 20%.
Okay.
But I know a lot of people say 20% may be a lot of money for construction. However, most persons who you see constructing, they already own the property. And so what happens is we take the value of the property and we use that as, really, you don't have to come up with anything. And so a lot of persons, what we're seeing now, especially if they already own the property, and some person already started putting on the foundation, taking it all the way to bell cost, and then they coming back to the bank. So at that point, the equity that they have already put in the property will cover their down payment injection of 20%.
Is there any stipulation on how long they should wait before they're able to come back to the bank now to build?
Once they own the property?
Right.
If they own the property outright, they can come right away, and depends on their financial situation. If they're able to, if they may have cash save up, so they can either come right away if they have enough cash to make up the difference of the down payment.
Right.
Or if they own the property outright, they could come right away and we could get started with construction right away.
Okay.
Well, I want to just mention this. When we went out and we started in July of 1986, and my sister came from Connecticut, and I said, the contractor said we were going to be in the house in October. She said, October next year.
Well, it couldn't have been the same year.
And as it turned around, several things went wrong. I could talk about it.
You're ready to tell
they
your
had,
story now.
No, they had two houses close to one another. Our house and the other people's house that they were dealing with. And as it turned out, we went in there in, that would have been the elections in 1987, the last election before the, And that's what I'm saying. So I am saying that, you know, it is all depending on what they are able to do. We would go out there sometimes and... But he goes out there early and he comes back early. Mm-hmm. So we had to have the contractor deal, the architect deal with the situation.
Right. Yeah. We have a question on the text line. Toriano, someone is asking, how can one go about remortgaging a house to a next bank?
Okay. We call those switch mortgages. So if you have an existing mortgage at another financial institution, what you have to do is, again, you come in and see one of our trained mortgage specialists in one of our branches. And what we do, we qualify you. And then with the mortgage, once you own the house itself, we ask for an evaluation to be done to determine the value of that house. And once the house value is about 80%, I mean, the value is enough so that we can do about 80% financing on it to cover the outstanding debt at that other financial institution. It's just a switching the mortgage over. And once you switch a mortgage over, I know Mr. Parker can talk to it. It's not as expensive as taking out a brand new mortgage because basically you're only going to pay on the stamp tax rather than on the conveyance again, which is most of the money when you're doing a mortgage. So to switch it over, you just need to speak to a mortgage specialist at RBC. And once we pre-qualify you again, and then it just now is doing the documents to bring the mortgage from one financial institution to Royal Bank of Canada. So the process is very easy. So just having that conversation, and then we let you know exactly what you can qualify for.
Anybody else?
Okay. So we're still now in this relay for getting to home ownership now, right? So we have talked to Toriano about the qualification process and what happens. You've already been pre-qualified. Now you're looking for the home with Mr. Carey. And now what happens now?
So what happens now after you've seen Toriano and he's told you, you qualify for $250,000, then you want to come and see us. We sit you down, have a consultation, find out what is it that you want. What is the ideal location for you? How many bedrooms? How many bathrooms? What kind of condition? Do you want something that's turnkey, that's ready? You just want to move in and bring your clothes? Or do you want something that's in good condition? You can move in now and work on it as you go on. Maybe it needs a bathroom, needs a renovation, mm-hmm. Something of that nature. So it all depends on what you want. Once we determine what you want, then we can figure out where we can find this house. So, for example, somebody wants to say they want to live in Stapleton, and we find a nice home in Stapleton for them. We go look at a few options. If you qualify for $250,000, we find a house that may need some renovations. Maybe it needs about $30,000, but you can move in and work with it. So we take a few, look at a few places. Once we find something that you like, you want to move in, you like what you see, what we would do is just put in an offer on it, on your behalf. And once we have an accepted offer, you find what you like, we would go back to Toriano with that offer letter and also start the process with a lawyer. And this is where Mr. Parker would probably come in and start what we call a sales agreement.
All right, so let's talk about the sales agreement. So after you see the home that you like and Mr. Carey says, okay, we're going to put this offer in. You put in the offer letter. Then what happens? Legally now, where are we?
Okay. Sorry, following on from what Toriano was saying before we deal with that, the switch mortgage is even more, cost effective than you'd imagine because based on the amendments to the VAT Act, if you're transferring a home between the financial institutions, it wouldn't attract VAT, which was formerly stamp duty on it. So it is really a cost-effective move. Now, on to the sales agreement. Once you've agreed terms, that would be the price, who is bearing the burden of the VAT, which, again, was formerly stamp duty, and who's paying the legal fees and the real estate commission, which are usually standard provisions. You usually find the vendor is dealing with the real estate commission. The average sales agreement, each party pays their own legal fees, and you'd find that the VAT is usually split, unless you're dealing with a net sale. If the property, all of those things would usually be addressed at the offer letter stage, and they'd be reduced to contract, which is a legally binding document. And once the contract is executed by both parties and the deposit paid, the deposit being paid by the purchaser to the seller, you would be formally committed to terms, which you would have to comply with. One of the, explaining it on a basic level, you as a purchaser would take your deposit into your attorney. You would go over the sales agreement with your attorney and confirm that all of the terms are what you have discussed and that you are in agreement with them. And once you're satisfied and comfortable, you would execute that sales agreement. And normally that executed agreement would go over to the seller's attorney along with the deposit. And the seller, if satisfied with the terms, which would have usually been pre-approved, agreed between the parties, would execute that document. Then you have your binding sales agreement. That sales agreement, if you're a purchaser, that goes back to the bank because that is going to be one of the documents that they need to complete the mortgage transaction if you are, in fact, borrowing money.
Okay.
If you aren't borrowing money, then you would just have your attorney dealing with his obligations, those being to primarily ensure what you're bargaining for, what you get what you're bargaining for, and that you don't fall victim to any of the unforeseen pitfalls, unforeseen by way of a purchaser. In terms of the attorney, you'd be checking the title, meaning the ownership of the property is vested in who is purporting to be the owner, and that there are no outstanding judgments and various other items that fall within the ambit of the attorney's duties in approving the title. Once your attorney signs off on the title and basically confirms that everything is in order, you then move to the conveyancing stage. One item of the sales agreement that is, it's almost standard, it's very commonplace, that is a financing clause, which means if you are in fact borrowing money from the bank, it usually a 21 or 28 day period to confirm with your bank that your financing is in order and that the financing instructions are issued to your attorney. If you find that during that 28 day period you aren't qualified, you haven't gotten your instructions issued, at that point you either request from the seller's attorney that there be an extension and you be granted more time to go and secure your financing, or at that point you can cancel the contract and say, listen, I've been unsuccessful in securing my financing. I need to be released from this contract, my deposit refunded, and I go back to the drawing board.
But other than that, you forfeit those funds.
If you go beyond the financing period without taking the proper steps, yes, you will find that your funds are committed, and at that point, you are at the mercy of the seller.
Right.
Okay, but beyond that, if everything goes well, you move from sales agreement to conveyance and mortgage.
Okay.
That is the completion stage, meaning the vendor, the seller, would sign a conveyance of the property over to you. The conveyance is the document by which the property ownership is transferred from one person to another.
Right.
The you would then execute a mortgage of that property to your lending institution.
Right.
And once those documents are fully executed and the relevant title documents in hand and delivered to the bank, and the bank is satisfied that everything is in order, the funds are then released to the seller via your attorney, via the purchaser's attorney. At that point, your commitment is to the bank to pay the mortgage. The seller is paid out the equation, and you carry on as the equitable owner of the property. All goes well as the owner of the property someday.
Okay.
Anything else before we say something?
Yes, on that you do.
Track and field and otherwise.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can get to the track and field. I understand. I wanted to ask you what kind of traffic they had in 71. But as a purchaser, you'd want to be aware that you can apply for exemption on your VAT if it is the first time that you're purchasing a home.
Okay, that's important to know.
Yes, you would want to know what the relevant rates are. If the property is valued at $100,000 or less, the VAT rate is 2.5% of that value. If it's over $100,000, it is 10%. That is the VAT that I mentioned would either be split between the purchaser and the vendor, or borne solely by one or the other. That is a very relevant figure because I don't know how many homes out there are going for under $100,000.
Right.
So you're usually looking at 10% unless you're dealing with vacant land.
Not many.
Yeah. So those are the general points you want to deal with in terms of completing the purchase of the home.
What about real property tax?
Real property tax is, firstly, any outstanding real property tax on the property is something that your attorney is supposed to deal with in the course of addressing the title.
The title, right.
Meaning when you take over a new property, if you bought a home, you'd want to take that home with a zero. Well, you definitely should take that home with a zero balance because that tax attaches to the property. However, the other significant elements of real property tax are the rates. The fact that up to, if you're occupying the property, I think up to $250,000, you're not charged real property tax as an owner-occupied exemption. And the government only charges you beyond that amount if it is, in fact, the residential property that you're occupying. It's an annual fee, and I can hear the music, and I think I've covered just about everything, and we could deal with the questions when we come back, I would imagine.
Okay.
Kermit, can you give us a little more time, please? Well, no problem. If you can't give us any more time, that's it.
But very quickly, Kermit, the purchaser's attorney is supposed to stamp and record his documents. You pay your stamp duty, your VAT, and you lodge it for recording. That means your title documents are on the record, and it's in your name in the registry of records.
That's
the final step. You want to make sure your documents make it to where they're supposed to go.
Thank you, Kermit. I think next week I am going to talk more track and field because...
Oh, most definitely.
You know, people are waiting for what I'm talking about our man, the world champion in the 400, this and that and the next thing. So next week I'm going to cut down that a little bit. Thank you ever so much.